Well, Merry Christmas, and I trust that you've all had a good breakfast and you're all ready to go for the rest of the day. Don't need to eat again today. But anyway, Christmas is December 25th, but there's no reason we can't celebrate Christmas a few more days than that, right? So this morning, again, is going to be the message. It's going to be somewhat Christmas, but it's I titled the message this morning, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And you can turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Not going to spend a lot of time with other scripture. Some other scripture we'll be sharing here this morning. But all of us, over the time of Christmas, peace is a word that we're very familiar with. It's a word that we hear spoken a lot. But it's something that I think many of us are not able to truly get a hold of and understand and really experience the peace that I believe that God wants for each of us this morning. Sonia went into Burger King, and as she was waiting in line at Burger King, the mood in Burger King became somewhat tense, and the manager was kind of yelling at the one at the cash register, and the one at the cash register wasn't doing more than standing at the cash register. Some people, the people in the line are starting to mutter, and things weren't getting right, and Sonia, my daughter, got kind of fooled to hear with it, and said, "Couldn't we just all smile? It's Christmas time." And somebody close to her said, "Bah, humbug." And there might be many of us here this morning that have experienced Christmas in that way. Bah, humbug. There's family dinners. There's people that we meet that we don't want to meet. There's people that we have to get together with that we don't want to get together with. And I know that there's not a lot of families that are that way, but there's some times where family dinners around Christmas can become somewhat tense and somewhat difficult and be a struggle. And so we come into this here time of Christmas, and we are challenged with exercising or actually experiencing true peace. Luke chapter 2, before I read Isaiah, Luke chapter 2, 14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men." Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. And I ask you this morning, are you experiencing peace over this Christmas season? Are you experiencing peace in life? And I know that every one of us here this morning, without a shadow of a doubt, wants to experience peace. I believe it's the thing that we desire the most. It's the thing that we long for the most, is to have that peace. And we will go to extreme measures to try and find that place where we can find perfect peace. Peace on earth. What does it look like? The world is full of conflict ever since the angels gave that their message. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. Right directly following that message, we have the account where Herod found out that the wise men had fooled him. And so he began to kill all the babies. Was that peaceful? Did that seem like peace coming to earth? There have been nothing but wars and rumors of wars since the angels declared that gift, that message. So what is it that we're missing? What is missing in the fact that there continues to be strife, there continues to be wars, there continues, when he said in this gift, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. So I think it's important this morning that we understand that God sent his Son. He sent his Son to redeem us to the Almighty God, to the Almighty Father. God sent his Son to be the one who would bring us back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you could put the picture up there, Mark, I appreciate it. When we are brought back into that relationship, when we are brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ, there will be peace. May not be peace in your family. There may not be peace in the world. There may not be the lack of famine and all those things, wars and storms and that. But in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, has brought to us peace. Hallelujah. It runs deep. It runs a whole lot deeper than the surface. And the things that we're experiencing in life around us, they should not affect that peace that God brings. Because there is nothing in this world that can take that peace from you. Hallelujah. You can't see the picture real clear, but if you see right here in the waterfalls, an outcrop of rock in a crevice, there's a bird sitting on a nest. It's a perfect picture of what I believe that God has for us when we are grounded and rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are connected to the Holy Spirit. And that comes through confessing, acknowledging that we are sinners, and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And then that peace is established. It doesn't matter what's going on around us at that point. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give, but giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So one part of this here perfect gift that God gave was peace and goodwill to men. And so I think that as you look at into, well, I'm not going to get into that right now. But one of the things that just occurred to me as I studied this message, and let's read Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. It says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who brings peace. There is no other way that you can find it, no other place that you can find it. Excuse me. In verse 7, it says this: "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. As I said before, I think there's so many ways that we have sought to find peace. I have a little tickle there, excuse me. There's so many different ways that we seek to find peace. We look for it let me give you some illustrations. I was on a lake in Canada fishing. Beautiful. The sun is setting. The loons are calling across the lake. My family's with me in the boat. I have a fishing rod. The fish are biting. And the water is just as smooth as glass. It is the perfect picture of peace. Peace wasn't there. I got up early one morning, and in preparation for a sermon, I went down behind our house. There's a road, and there's a meadow down there that the neighbors that were allowed to walk in. And I went down into the meadow there, and the road bank is higher, and it dips down, and then it dips down some more to where the creek is. And I went down there, and I sat with my back against that bank with the stream. It wasn't loud. It wasn't rushing over rocks, but just softly, small rocks, ripples. So it was this soft, gentle flowing of the stream. The sun was warm on my back, and the birds began to sing. And the steam was just lifting off of the creek at that time. Perfect picture of peace. Peace wasn't there. I sat in my living room. I got up in the dark 30 a.m. I got my cup of coffee. I propped my feet up in my recliner. The house is quiet. There's no traffic at that time. And it's just the perfect picture of peace. peace wasn't there. I remember in the barn, we used to feed the steers and the horses and the cats and the dogs, and whenever everybody was fed, all the animals were fed, there was this sound of eating contentedly. The barn was warm. It was cold outside. It was snowing, and the barn was nice and warm, but there was this contented sound of eating. Very peaceful. Peace was not there. Are you with me this morning? I guarantee you this morning that you can find the most peaceful place on earth that you can experience, and if the peace of God is not in your heart, then peace is not there. It's not there. It is not to be found on the lake. It is not to be found by the stream. It is not to be found alone in your living room. Peace is the presence of God in a tortured, troubled life that brings a connection to God. That's where the peace is. You see, I've been in situations that were very troublesome. I recall a time when I was driving feed truck where on Route 30, there was two lanes, and coming up to a traffic light, and the guy coming, the light turned red, we all stopping. The guy behind me wasn't getting stopped, and he didn't want to, one of those box trucks with a single axle box truck type of thing, and he saw he wasn't going to get stopped, so he swerved hard to the right to try and go off to the right side of the shoulder, and I'm parked here like this, and he comes from this side and just kind of, his cab went right under the bottom of the back of my bed of the feed truck. And just buckled his cab down, and then he saw this happening. He threw himself over, but the steering wheel pinned him down against, and another guy that was with him was walking around there with a gash in his head. But I found this incredible peace. You know what I'm saying? We can be in the most horrible, most difficult times in life, and when the peace of God ministers to your spirit, it will be a perfect peace. Amen? Because He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace. He is the one. There is nothing that can separate us. There is nothing that can separate us from that peace. We can walk away from it. We can surrender it, but there's nothing that can take it from us. And this morning, the Bible says that He is the Prince of Peace, and it makes new meaning to when the angel said, peace on earth and goodwill to men. Saw a sign this week. God gave your strengths, but He also gave you your weaknesses. Can you deal with that? How does it feel? Where do you find yourself when you find yourself failing? You find a weakness in your life. What does it do to you? Are you able to have peace? Are you able to have peace in the Father? That He knows exactly what He's doing? That He knows what's going on in your life? Are you able to do that? Is there peace in your home? Because there's peace in your heart. Is there peace in your home this morning? Because there's peace in your heart. Even though the things may not be the way you want them, floors get dirty, cups get broken. You know, there's things that happen in a home that doesn't stay clean. It gets dirty. Are you able to find peace even when it's dirty? Listen to me, friends. Peace in the chaos is, I believe, what God has given us the ability to accomplish when we rest in Him, when we lean on Him, when we surrender to Him. Listen, your knee's going to give out. You'll have to get a new hip. You'll have to get a new knee. You'll have to get, your hair will fall out. Just, it's life. It's life. Windows get broken. That's life. Do you know you need new tires or your car gets damaged? It's life. Come on. Why is it such a big deal? Why does it destroy the peace? And we have people walking around saying, oh, I don't know if I can take much more. Why? I believe it's because we have failed to connect to what the ultimate peace is, and that's your relationship, your fellowship with the Father. The peace that you have by knowing that you have been redeemed. By knowing that, as it says here in the scripture, it says, of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even to forever. And I was so challenged this week as I was sitting down studying this scripture. It came anew to me. I have a king. I am part of a kingdom. I have a king. And his name is not Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the president of the United States. Our king is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And it doesn't matter what the Democrat Party does. They cannot take the peace away from us. Hallelujah. Or the Republican Party. Let me not cross lines here. Boy. Are you with me? I have a king. I'm part of a kingdom. Jesus is sitting on the throne. He has taken the throne of David, and he is now the king. The government is now upon his shoulders. It is no longer the priests. It is no longer the prophets, and it is no longer the Sanhedrin. It is no longer the giving of bulls and goats' blood. It is now that Jesus governs. He is the king. He is the one and only king, the king of peace, the prince of peace. Do you feel it this morning? I ask you this morning, do you feel the peace? Even though there is total chaos around you. You know, we buy insurance. We do things like that so kind of to have a sense of peace. If your confidence is insurance, trust me, insurance. If your confidence is in insurance, you're going to be left down. We buy radar detectors as a kind of a sense of peace. I don't believe that a Christian should have a radar detector. Because there's only one reason for a radar detector. It's not for a sense of peace. It is so that you can drive fast and not get caught doing it. You see what I'm saying? Come on. Put your radar detector away. It's so you can drive fast and not get caught. There's no peace in that. When you're driving down the road with a radar detector, you're not at peace because you know you're breaking the speed limit. Children will spill milk. Houses will get messy. Walls will get scuffed. Windows will break. This is life. Let's quit blaming the devil. Let's quit blaming the devil every time it happens. It's life. It's life. Hang around. It's life. Somehow we have to find peace in it. And we can. We can. We have been promised that peace through leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ. And for a child will be born to us, a son will be given. He has many wonderful names in this scripture. He says he is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. But he kind of sums it up with Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. It's what we're all looking for. It's what we're all seeking for. It's the reason that we do a lot of the things that we do is to seek to find peace. And it will not be found in things and stuff and places. It is found only in that you have been made right with God. You were alienated from God until his son came and shed his blood. See, that son that was given, that little baby that lays in a manger that we see so often laying in a manger, unless that little baby gets to the cross, then the work is not finished. So peace did not come when Jesus came, but peace came when he went to the cross and he died and he gave himself, he shed his blood for you and I, that we could be reconnected to the Father. and the government is upon his shoulders now. It is no longer that God no longer uses the children of Israel, if you will, to punish the nations. The government is now upon Jesus' shoulders. He took that place. And we will only find that peace if we recognize that we, you and I, we have a king. We have a king. And he is perfect. What is so neat about this king, as I thought about kings, I thought about King David and how David was, and David was a good king. The people flourished under David. David was a king that was over many people. So there is no way that it was possible for David to have a personal relationship with all of the people within his kingdom. But today we have a king who has a personal relationship with you. He has a personal relationship with you. He is personal with you. He is leading your life. He is guiding you. The king provided protection. The king provided food. And we have a king, and his name is Jesus, and he is providing protection for you. He is providing food for you. He is providing health for you. He is providing the things that you need spiritually. If you're not getting what you want physically, don't worry about it. Easier said than done. I know that. I'm a human being. But we have a king who is watching out for us. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this, love, joy, and peace are all the results of the Holy Spirit's working within us. Love, joy, and peace are all the results of the Holy Spirit's working within us. And when the Holy Spirit is work within us and joy and peace are within us, it's going to spill out to other people. It'll spill out to other people. Other people will experience peace and joy in your life. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, it's being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Peace. What is our bond? Our bond is that we are all one with the Prince of Peace. We are all one with the Prince of Peace. We're not always going to agree with each other, but we are all one with the Prince of Peace. The kingdom of God has come to earth, and the king has direct access to your heart. Do you live accordingly? Do you live according to that promise? He will direct your life. In your heart and mind, he works out his plans and his purposes. He will direct your life. He will orchestrate the things around you. I have a king. I have a king. I can relax. Why? Because I have a king. I have a king who will watch out for me, who will take care of me. I can relax. Doesn't mean that I become complacent. Doesn't mean that I don't do what he's asking me to do. But I have a king who is leading me, guiding me, and directing me. Your circumstance do not dictate your peace with God. Your circumstance do not dictate your peace with God. In fact, your circumstances are so removed from the peace with God, that they're not even within sight. Circumstances in life are so removed from peace with God. Are you with me? Our peace with God does not come through circumstances. So our circumstances are so removed from peace with God, we can have peace with God when our circumstances are really bad. I sought peace by the stream and on the lake. While they were very peaceful, the lake and the stream were not peace. They were not peace. Was it peaceful? Was I at peace? Yes, but not because of the lake, not because of the stream, not because of the cattle feeding, but what had happened inside. The Lord Jesus Christ had come in and taken up residence through his Holy Spirit within my life and brought peace there. There's not one of us married people here this morning that doesn't desire to have peace within our marriage. We all desire it. We all desire a marriage. Wouldn't it be beautiful Let's have a marriage that is at perfect peace. No conflict. It wouldn't be real. It'd be a fairy tale. We would all like to be at peace with our children. And I bless the teenagers that we have here, and God bless you, and continue seeking the direction, the Lord's direction for you. Teenage is a difficult time of finding where we're at within the scheme of things, and it sometimes it's difficult. And so it flows over into the home. We want to be at peace with our children. There are many of you parents here this morning that have experienced that ability to relate with your children, have peace with them, but there may be some here this morning that have not experienced that, where it's difficult, where you have a child that is wayward, or you have a child that is making choices that are not good. I encourage you this morning to rest in the palm of the Almighty God. Find that peace that is yours in that fellowship with Him. We all would like to have peace of mind. How many of us have sat awake sometime or another during the night without the peace that we were seeking? We want peace of mind. We want to know that what we're doing is right. We want to know that we want to have that hope that things are going to be different somewhere down the road or can be different now. So there's that peace of mind that we look for throughout life. We like to have peace in our thought life where we commit everything to the Lord and allow Him to orchestrate our lives. We like to have peace in our churches. You see, this word peace is used a lot. And it's something that is so much a part of our lives. Peace in our churches, peace in our nation. We'd like if the Democrats and the Republicans could get along with each other. And it goes way beyond that. So we long for peace in our nation. We long for peace in the world. We hate to hear of the wars and the people that are being killed, and we want peace. But I assure you again this morning, it will not and cannot be found if it's not brought through Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. This other stuff, I believe, will continue to happen. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's a peace that you will find that is, regardless of the water falls, regardless of the lightning, the thunder, regardless of the storm that is around us, like that little bird sitting in that nest, we will be able to find that peace. Isaiah 48:22 says this, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." And we say this morning, okay, well, yeah, that's pretty clear, cut and dried. But who are the wicked? The wicked are those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. The wicked are those who reject the Son of God. God Almighty has given His Son, the perfect Lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect gift, and it is those who reject Him who are wicked. And you say, Luke, well, I know some really nice, good people who have not named the name of Christ. That's correct. There are really nice people who have rejected and are wicked because they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no peace. There is no peace. What are the things that keep us from experiencing peace with God? And I think the first I just mentioned was that you're lost. If you're here this morning and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I assure you this morning you're not experiencing true peace. Don't let yourself be fooled into thinking that if you're going through a time where there's no difficulty, things are rather peaceful around you, don't let that be a sign or be a stumbling block to lead you to believe that you're at peace with God. Because if you're lost, then there is no peace with God. You say, Luke, I know that, but I still don't have peace with God. Because you see, there are some, I believe, another reason that we do not experience the peace of God this morning is that if we are harboring unforgiveness or are harboring unrepented sin in our lives, if we are harboring unrepented sin, then we'll not experience the peace of God. Things might be going well, but we're not experiencing the peace of God. And another reason, I think, that one of the things that keeps us from experiencing the peace of God is that when we don't obey, it's somewhat the same as rejecting, but when we don't obey, let's say we are a Christian this morning, but you know that God is calling you to do something and you are rejecting it. You are rejecting being obedient to God. You will not experience the peace of God, because then the peace is separated. The peace is separated from you when you are not being obedient to what God's call is on your life. We will not experience the peace of God when we lack trust. We have to trust God. That's what was so beautiful to me this week again, in understanding that I have a King I can trust. I have a King that I can trust. I have a King that I can rest in. And one of the others, the reasons that we don't have peace is that we have a faulty idea about what peace is. We have a faulty idea about what peace is. We think it's in our circumstance. Once everything, if you're here this morning and you are waiting for things to get right, or you're waiting for everything to be perfect, to find peace, to have peace, you're going to wait a long time. You're going to wait a long time because it's life. It's life. It's the life that we live in. Which brings me to the picture on the screen. There was the story is told of a, if I can get it all together here. And I'm just going to read some of it to you. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of the artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered. The tensions grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. As the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror smooth lake reflected the lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along a grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascading down over a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, and the wind and the rain in the midst of the thundering noises and the bitter chill in the cleft of the rocks on the edge of the falls, there sat a little bird on a nest at total peace. This picture. Real peace is being able to abide in the midst of the storm with a calm assurance that the Savior is there. Real peace is being able to abide in the calm of the storm knowing that you have a King. Real peace is being able to abide in the calm of the storm, knowing that you are in the hands of the Almighty God. Do you know the Prince of Peace this morning? Do you know the Prince of Peace? Is He one with you? Because it is the only thing, that is the only rock, it is the only foundation that we can hold on to, that we can stand on, that will not change and will not move and cannot be taken away from you. No one can take your peace when it's in the relationship with Jesus Christ. No one can take your peace when it is connected to the Father. No one can take your peace. Not even a irritating little mic that keeps falling off the ear cannot take your peace. It can't. Does it want to? Does it test? Are we tested? Sure we are. All the time. We're tested. We're tried. God wants us to rest in Him. God wants us to be connected to the Prince of Peace and in Him alone, not finding it somewhere else. And if you're here this morning and you recognize that you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the opportunity. Today is the time. Don't wait. Don't wait. Because provision is made. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and confess your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledge that you need a Savior and that you can't do it alone. Acknowledge that this morning. And I assure you, you will have a peace. I know. I've been there. I know that you will have a peace like nothing you will ever experience any other way. Amen. Any other way. If you're here this morning and God has been talking to you about a sin in your life and you need to repent of it, don't wait. Do it now. Do it now, because today is the time. If you're not experiencing peace, if there's trouble all around you and you're not able to find that peace inside, then maybe it's because there is something God is calling you to that you have been rejecting. Yield to Him and experience the peace of God. And His name will be called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. It's a promise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And that's for you this morning. That's spoken to you. That's not peace. That peace is not spoken to the unbeliever. It is available to the unbeliever, but it is spoken to those who believe, whom God is well pleased in. Goodwill toward men. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to look into your word. I thank you, Father, for the promises of your word. I thank you, Lord, that this morning we are able to rest in you secure and in the promise that you will give that peace. Lord, recognizing again that in Matthew, that where you said that you come not to bring peace, to bring a sword, Lord, it brings more understanding to the things that we see going on around us, Lord. I pray that you would connect our hearts and our minds. I pray that each one in this building this morning, Lord, would have a desire and a heart that would thirst and hunger after the true peace. And the things that don't bring peace, Lord, I pray that they would become strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. So, Father, this morning, I pray that your Spirit would fall upon us, that your Spirit would move among us, and that we would be able to be a people of peace who would demonstrate to the world around us, to our neighbors, to the people here in New Holland and Farmersville and all the places around here that we touch on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that those people would be able to recognize that truly there is something that cannot be disturbed deep down inside of these people. God, I pray that if there is anyone here this morning who does not know that peace, that today, Lord, you will move upon their heart, that you will move upon the hearts of those individuals, Lord, to come to you and to be as the thief on the cross and say, today, remember me, Lord. So, Father, I believe that you will remove that cruel wooden cross and will bring life into anyone who will ask. And that peace will guard and direct our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for this fellowship. I pray a blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jim, if you're ready to lead us.